This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brother Yusuf, mashallah, I must say Al-Hajj Yusuf, you Allah blessed you to go for Hajj 2020. Allah chose you from among the millions who wanted to go. How do you feel?
Alhamdulillah, Mufti, I'm overwhelmed. You know, I can't really express such feelings. And I just want to say shukran for having me. And you are inspiration to everybody in the world.
I want to tell you why I felt the need to go live, not just with you, but a few others who have gone for Hajj. Every year we visit the Hajjis or they visit us before they go for Hajj. We're excited and we follow them during the Hajj. When they come back, every community, every society, every city in the world, they visit the Hajjis, they see the Hajjis, they witness people go for Hajj, come back. This year, it was very different. There are very few. So many cities, including mine, we have no one who went for Hajj from here. You're the closest. You are from South Africa. Am I right?
Gee.
So that is amazing. G means yes, for
yes,
those of you who might not know.
Yes.
So he is from South Africa, and that is the closest to me. And inshallah, tomorrow we may be speaking to a sister also from South Africa who was as fortunate as you are, mashallah. So I just want to know, because we want to let the ummah, your brothers, your sisters who followed you, made dua for you. I'm sure you made dua for all of us as an ummah. We would like to know, how was the process of you getting the accreditation for this year's Hajj? Just let it flow. I'm going to let you do the talk. Oh,
okay. I'm just a bit nervous, Mufti, but...
No problem.
All right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It started all way before Hajj. I was back home and I told my mom, I would like to reside in Medina so that I can be close to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she told me that there was a job vacant in Saudi Arabia. And long story short, I applied and I was accepted. Alhamdulillah. I've been currently teaching for 2 years now in Riyadh. And, you know, Mufti, this pandemic, everything happened so fast, like this pandemic and everything. I actually wanted to go home, you know, because we only have this 3 month vacation, but the international airlines were closed. They didn't say there wasn't even supposed to be a Hajj this year. But alhamdulillah, there was. And, you know, I was supposed to go home. There was a one repatriation flight. But my mother, she was making istihara, and she made istihara. And she said that we shouldn't get on this flight. And I said, but mom, I want to go home. I miss my family, you know. I've never spent a Ramadan and an Eid with Eid al-Adha without them. And she was like, no, she has this feeling that we shouldn't go. And anyway, and she came again with some breaking news. She said, Yusuf, we could go on Hajj this year. And I was like, wow, I can't believe it, you know. And so I applied online, and within a week, I was accredited. They said that 70% of expats and 30% of citizens could apply. And within a week, I was congratulated on my accreditation. But unfortunately, my mom, she couldn't go. But alhamdulillah, she was on Hajj already. And I was inundated with calls from the Ministry of Hajj. They were telling me that I need to go for tests and medical examinations. They even gave me this bracelet to monitor my isolation. So all these tests were done, but we didn't yet get confirmation. Only 2 days later, I received my permit saying that, hey, you're official now. You've got your permit. You can go on Hajj now. I was like, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. This is unbelievable, because the chances are so slim, Mufti. You know, and anyway, from there, the ball started rolling.
Just a quick one. So, you know, some of the brothers and sisters were saying that in the form, they were taking people from all nationalities, and it was selected totally by the computer. There was no human being involved in the selection. And what happened is the forms were filled in, and you had to be a person who did not make Hajj before. Is that correct?
Yes, that is 100% correct, Mufti.
Alhamdulillah. I think it's fair. It's very fair. It was a very good thing. So anyone who's made Hajj before, you wouldn't have qualified to go this time. MashaAllah. So you ticked all the boxes, right?
Yes. So my mom was, I ticked all the boxes, but unfortunately my mom couldn't go this year.
Allah gave her the reward. I'm very impressed at how, because you listened to your mother, you were able to then go for Hajj, how she had this feeling, you know. It's a good point to ponder over, because many people don't have a good relationship with their own mothers. But you know, when mothers are good and pious and kind and loving, and when they are guiding lights as well, and you know, real mother roles fulfilled in a beautiful way, the bond is such that you just feel that I'm close to my mom. If she says don't go, I'm not going to go. But imagine some people, it's either way. Maybe some people don't listen to their moms, and some people, their moms behave in a way that no one wants to listen to them. So the problem is 2-3 different ways. I'm so glad. May Allah bless you and your mom. We've learned a lesson for the ummah by what you said. Now you can carry on. So you got all this right. Thing.
Gee. Anyways, Mufti, after that, there were the transport, the accommodation, the food, the plane tickets. Everything was seen to by the ministry, and then we arrived in Jeddah. Yeah, so I didn't pay.
So even though you were prepared to pay for the whole Hajj, but apparently nobody paid for anything.
Nothing. Everything was paid for.
Subhanallah, Rabbil Alameen. Wow, what a blessing! So you were indeed a guest of Allah there, subhanallah.
Yeah. Anyways, the Mufti, this being my first Hajj, I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't know what needed to be done. But alhamdulillah, my mother, she's been on Hajj, so she was able to tell me what rituals and all the things that needed to take place for this Hajj. Anyway, she really helped me prepare myself. So I flew from Riyadh to Jeddah, and you're not going to believe this, Mufti, there were so many paparazzis and people taking pictures. I felt like royalty, you know. In my mind, I was actually thinking, hey, I'm like Mufti Menk now. You know, I was walking down, I'm Mufti Menk, guys, you know. Yeah, anyways, from there they escorted us to Mecca. We were in this hotel, Four Corners, I think, of Shiran, something like that. Anyways, we were isolated there for 4 days. And you're not going to believe this, Mufti. They actually sent someone to come and test us again for COVID-19. And at any time, they could have pulled me out and said, hey, Yusuf, you've got the virus. You have to go home. So it was like I was excited, but also this fear that I won't be able to go on Hajj, because at any time it would have been terminated. They said, if you leave the building, it's going to be terminated. If you've got the virus again, it's going to be terminated. All these things, you know. But alhamdulillah, I was still accepted.
They had to be strict, because obviously they were getting this done. They were giving random people that were selected by a computer through an algorithm the chance to fulfill the Hajj. And they didn't want to take any chances. So I'm sure you must have been making dua, oh Allah, let me carry on, oh Allah, let me go, oh Allah, let me go. And it keeps you, oh Allah, you brought me so far, oh Allah, let me never go. There must have been a different dimension altogether to the whole Hajj.
Gee, there was, and then everything was so well organized. Even the ihram, you couldn't have bacteria or viruses. It wouldn't have any of, they took well, you know, good precautions when it came to, even when we walked in, they would sanitize our bags, start spraying us with sanitization, and so on.
So did they give you a special ihram to wear, or you had your own?
Yes, there was a special ihram. We couldn't bring our own ihram.
Wow, subhanallah. That means they really took every precaution in the book.
Subhanallah, gee.
Amazing, mashallah, beautiful.
All right. Okay.
So you arrived. We were with the paparazzi. Then what happened?
Yes. Then anyway, Mufti. So we from there. Like, my most emotional experience was when we were on Arafat. You know, when I was lifting my hands up to make dua, there was this cloud that came out of nowhere, and it blocked out the rays of the sun. And I knew at that time that I could feel the presence of the Almighty. There was even this breeze that came out of nowhere. You know, my mother always told me about these experiences, and my friends, and here I am experiencing it myself, you know. And at that time, Mufti, I acknowledged all my strength and weakness. I mean, I acknowledged all my weaknesses and faults. And I realized that I need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. And I didn't just make dua for myself. I made dua for me and the entire ummah. So that was the most memorable experience. And it's hard not to shed tears, Mufti. You know, I cried and I begged for forgiveness.
Allah, may Allah grant us all a good lesson. So the highlights of the dua, I'm sure your mother was featuring very high in that list of people you made dua for.
Gee, I always make dua for my parents. You know, we have to listen to them always. You know, the mother, I think, is the feet, Jannat lies under the feet of your mother. And I think the father is the key.
Of your parents, indeed. And you know, you must thank Allah you've got good parents. There are a lot of young boys and girls out there who do not have good parents. I know a lot of young boys and girls whose parents are out of line themselves. And then they tell us, but this child's supposed to listen to me. And I tell them they cannot listen to you in the disobedience of Allah. So we have to thank Allah we've got good parents. Some people's parents don't fulfill their roles that Allah placed on their shoulders. May Allah bless your parents and ours and all of those in the ummah. When we become parents also, we need to be definitely responsible such that our kids can talk about us the same way Yusuf is talking about his parents.
Gee.
So anyway, tell me, we heard that the food and all that was all arranged and it used to come to your rooms.
Yes. Everything, the food, everything, you know, back in the rooms. And then after, can I go on from where after Arafat?
Yes.
From there, we went to a Muzdalifa. And then a miracle happened again because there was these, it just started raining. And then everybody went outside. They said it's the Rahmah of Allah. And then mostly the women and so they were outside and they were making dua. And everybody was so, you know, this is... it's over. You don't know. The feeling is indescribable, Mufti.
Was it hot or cold, or was it hot and then it became cold?
Yes, it was hot, and then all of a sudden there was this coolness.
Subhanallah.
Amazing. It was over. It's overwhelming, Mufti.
Mashallah.
And we also.
I have one simple question. You know, we were watching from the television, it was looking so organized and so beautiful, how nobody bumped into anyone. I asked the sister yesterday, I'm going to ask you, did anyone ever bump into you throughout your whole Hajj?
No, nobody bumped into me. It was well organized. We had a guide. See, we had a guide who showed us, and there were stickers on the ground, you know, markers that... that we were on, and we practiced, they told us to practice our social distancing, remain 6 feet away from each other.
Subhanallah.
They even gave us sanitized stones, Mufti.
Tell me about all those little stones they gave you in Pebble, sanitized stones.
Yes, they gave us sanitized stones to pee out the jamarats.
Subhanallah. May Allah make it easy. Wallahi, they went out of their way. And then another thing that I also wanted to know is, how did you know when to start the tawaf? The way it moved round was just mind-boggling.
Oh, they were the like I said, Mufti, we were in groups of 20. So we each had a guide. Yes, we were in groups of 20. So like there was a guide for 20 people and a guide for 20 people, same with the women. And then as soon as the guide said move, we all moved. I think they had radio stations where they would tell the guides at once, you know, they tell them, let's get moving. So it was all like in sync, very well orchestrated.
I saw it. And to me, honestly, it looked like a school teacher going with the school children on an outing. Here you go. Now we've learned 20 kids and you've got your teacher. The teacher says, right, all walk in a line, do this, do that. It was amazing. So those kindergarten skills really helped. Mashallah.
Ji Mufti.
But it was necessary. On, you know, it was very, very good. And then tell us your farewell tawaf. How did that go?
Oh, yes, the tawaf. You know, Mufti, I was actually very sad because I knew that every step I'm taking, I'm coming towards the end of my Hajj. And when I looked at the Kaaba, it was different because there was so much radiance coming from the Kaaba. It's not something like I've ever experienced before. It was very majestic.
And it was a brand new. Did you notice the cloth was brand new when you went for the last tawaf? They had changed the Kaaba.
Subhanallah. Gee, I noticed. And I've been on Umrah countless times, Mufti, but I can tell you that Hajj is way different from the Umrah experience. You know, there's just something different about this. You could feel Allah's rahmah.
And you didn't want it to end.
No. I actually yearned to go back, Mufti. I want to go back on Hajj again and again and again. But, you know, I actually... I would love it more for someone else to get that opportunity, you know, and if I could maybe help someone to get that opportunity. I would love to go back.
I'm sure your folks and your friends back in South Africa, they must have been so excited. And even those who are seeing you now, who must be knowing you from back home in South Africa, they must be so happy that we were represented there, mashallah.
Gee. Subhanallah.
So, where exactly do you come from in South Africa?
I come from a small town or city called Kimberley.
Mashallah, I know where Kimberley is. Mashallah, amazing.
You made your brother there already. Gave us a speech years ago. Yeah.
Mashallah, that was amazing. Well, look how your journey for wanting to be in Medina took you to an historic Hajj that will be so memorable. When people see you, they're going to say, that's the guy who went for the Hajj during the Corona lockdown. That's the guy who went for the Hajj during the Corona lockdown. So that's a very big title to carry, Hadila.
Gee, it's very big, Mufti.
Mashallah. Mashallah.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if Mufti knows, my grandfather was Imam Halant, Imam Yusuf Halant.
Amazing. You know, yes, I know very, very well. And you know, amazing, the effort of those people. Sometimes, you know, Allah gives in their progeny also people who raise that effort once again. May Allah use you also to serve the deen in a great way and your families. Ameen, ameen. So towards the end, we were told, oh, mashallah, everyone's got such a lovely souvenirs and gifts to take home to be able to remember the time and so on. Tell us a bit about that. How was it? How was that final thing, you know, when you were like sort of salaming the place?
Yeah, they gave us, mashallah, they gave us gifts, Mufti, like Qur'ans, pens, and it was like customized muslas. Also, yes. I don't know why, but the officials actually invited me and my friends to reside with them, like after Isha. It was so nice because I don't know why they did this. They just said that you know, that maybe they saw that I'm a people person and they liked that, and they actually gave me a special gift. It was a watch, a special type of watch, and after for all four of us. So we received a bit of more special treatment from them.
It's generally the hospitality. The hospitality is of a high standard generally. So that's the reason why you find that, mashallah, they'll call you. And if they would notice that, you know, you're a guy who likes to help and who likes to do it. So mashallah, that's amazing. You know, I always like to know in my heart. It's not easy to ask people because it's, you know, but there must be something you've done in your life that you must be thinking, because I did this, that's why Allah's given me this. Some people go through struggle. Some people go through, you know, loss of a loved one. Some people go through sabr they've made for something. Some people, I know you've already told us that you listened to your mom. And subhanAllah, I'm convinced that the barakah of that. Do you think there was anything else that can come to your mind? You know, why you felt that perhaps Allah has chosen you for this opportunity? Is there anything you can, you know, tell us maybe?
I don't know, Shui. I just made dua, Shia.
That's
all.
You're right. Yeah. I can tell you that, you know, had you got the flight back home, you wouldn't have even been gone for the Hajj. So just to run your mind.
It actually started before the Hajj and anything. I just made a dua to the Almighty that I would like to just visit these holy places, and so that I could give my salams to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's how it happened, Mufti.
Yeah, so that you can fulfill the Hajj and be at Masjid al-Nabawi. Those are the two main masjids that we actually travel all the way to in order to fulfill Salah in them. If you look at the one sister told us yesterday, the same thing, she made a dua in Arafah the previous year, on the day of Arafah, but she wasn't in Arafah to say, "Oh Allah, take me for Hajj." And she said the next Arafah she was there, subhanAllah. MashaAllah, the internet connection is not so strong. We have a small problem with the internet, but alhamdulillah, we heard from Brother Yusuf. Insight. He gave us some very good insight. If he wants to join back, you can just please comment again. A beautiful insight about the Hajj and how he was selected, what happened in the Hajj, how they were in groups of 20, and they had a little leader telling them they didn't, no bumping into each other. He says he felt like he wanted to go to Medina a few years ago to live there. And his mother told him, you can apply for a job. He went, he got that job in Riyadh. And he during the coronavirus, he wanted to go home. His mother told him not to go. And subhanAllah, he didn't go. And then he managed to apply, and within a few days, a week, he got the response to say you're a candidate. And then 2 days later or something, he actually came in, accepted with that particular document that you need to go for the Hajj. And then he explained to us how it was amazing and so beautiful in Arafah, how the clouds came in, and in Muzdalifah, how it rained. And then also the final tawaf, the hospitality, how beautiful it was. And mashallah, whatever we've heard from you, my brother, I pray that Allah grant you goodness and acceptance. Thank you so much for sharing it with the Ummah. All of your brothers and sisters across the Ummah family wanted to hear this, and Jazakumullah Khair for giving us the opportunity. Shukran to Haramain Info for having arranged some of these meetings. Brother Amir as well for having arranged this. May Allah bless you guys. And tomorrow, inshallah, we will be speaking to a sister also from South Africa who had the good fortune of fulfilling the Hajj 2020, bi-idhnillah. For now, I'm just going to say, my brothers and sisters, wow, let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, may Allah take us there next year. And shukran, my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.